I should say, as we're starting in here, are we on the black? No, no, is it running on the...
Oh, yes, it is running.
The black is the park view.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's not necessarily black. I should say there are very, very few independents that are judges. Most judges, the first time in, basically, you need political backing. And to some degree, even becoming a judge, I had backing from Republicans who were very nice to me, even though they knew I was independent.
And why do you think they were nice to you?
Because I try to be honest with people. I have a big mouth. And when I say something, I'm there. When I come with someone to the dance, I stay with them at the dance. And I have a certain sense of loyalty. Liberals have a reputation for being very flighty, deciding everything on their whims. I'm not that way. Where I can switch around. You have to have loyalty and relationships to people. That becomes very important.
Okay. And now we were on the the mid-50s and your involvement with the independent movement. Do you recall how you first heard about that movement?
Yeah, there were kids I knew from the University of Chicago. And kids, there weren't kids, there were young people with families. And they invited me and I went. Like the guy in the Salvation Army, somebody gave me a tuba. Okay. You know, did you ever hear somebody gave a tuba and here I am? Okay.
Okay. Now, what influenced your family to leave the area of the manor over there?
Racial change.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody lived in terms of the area. Every neighborhood I've ever lived in almost had undergone a change. And when the area is integrated, remember this, blacks were coming out of the housing projects and had tremendous housing needs. So now you have areas like Oak Park, Evanston, where you have stable communities, and indeed, there's almost no community that isn't integrated today. But at the time, when the neighbors, the housing pressure was so great, that change was totally. Where you live, in the garden, the manor, and everything, was a very nice middle-class area. It changed relatively quickly. And I don't think they were the worst people. I think there was inevitability to it. I think there were a lot of fears. I don't think the fears are so much existent now. And, you know, we live in a very integrated world, what, 20, 30 years now. It's a totally different world. We moved to Evanston, which is always integrated. And we felt that we wanted to be in an area that had some Jewish population, but was mixed, because there's an advantage of having all kinds of people.
Okay, I had heard that sometimes the real estate companies would knock on doors and things. Was that your experience?
No. Actually, the real estate companies, both white and black, hustled to make as many sales and purchases as they could. I don't think, while we can look at their motivation as being racist, I think it was more greed. Okay. People tried to stay, but the racial change was so complete and so quick, it was just over. Now, I don't believe that the areas that have recently more integrated have had that pattern. Evanston, blacks move in and whites move in, and there's moving in and out. It wasn't that way. The area, oh, from South Shore all the way up to the end of the manor, and Marion, North Marion, and him, changed very fast. And the number of white families that remain for any long period of time is very minute.
Okay, so Evanston is about the decade of the 50s, 60s, 60s, 70s.
I lived for 15 years in the manor, just about. So I would think it's the late 60s and 70s would be Evanston. Which, by the way, I served on the zoning board for 9 years. I don't know if you're familiar with Evanston, but the saying I always have in most communities, there's two points of view on every issue. Evanston has three points of view. This is a very contentious community with more lawyers than human beings. It's a very vital intellectual community. And it was a very interesting community, and they're good people there. There's good people all over. There are people who were intellectual and read, the kind of people you enjoy being with that are alive and alert.
Okay.
And my practice was building. I worked on some campaigns. And we got involved with the Republican organization there.
And I see...
It's very interesting, by the way, because many of the people I was there with, that with this turn with Mr. Bush and everything, have dropped out of politics. I mean, there had been whole groups of very moderate Republicans who were basically Republicans based on economics. And they were good people, and that seems to have disappeared.
And how was your involvement with the IVI affected by your
By that time, I was fairly much out of the IVI.
Okay. And then what sort of organizations then did you become involved in?
Well, we were active with the synagogue. It's called Beth Emmett, E-M-E-T. And the very old and really quite relatively well-to-do, well-known synagogue. I was involved with the Board of Appeals, Republican organization. I guess that's about it. When you're practicing law for a living, you don't have a lot of free time.
Okay. And what did you do with the book?
By the way, when we did get that, it's not, it was still an IVA. I forgot about that. Okay.
And what did you do with the Board of Appeals?
Certain zoning cases were not heard by the city council, but came to us where people want to rezone something. It was fairly technical and complicated. It was really quite interesting. And it stands me in good stead in this present court. I mean, I still make reference to what I did.
Okay. Just a moment, please. Okay.
There was something that came up. I'm trying to remember the exact year. I think it was 1970, where we got a new constitution in the state of Illinois. The constitutional delegates were elected on a nonpartisan basis, and we became very active in IVI with that. And interestingly enough, the League of Women Voters, which we always peripherally related to in many ways, was involved there, and there were half a dozen issues, for example, like political election of judges versus merits appointments, which came before the people which we were involved in, which were quite interesting.
Okay, because I have heard that that is when the new system came into being and that there had been an old court system. I do realize that you were not a judge at the time, but did you have a sense of the changes that were being brought in?
Okay, the first change was the integration of the court system. The municipal, probate, all the courts were separate. They were integrated and made into functional unity, with some things carried on. You know, with all the change, the old things still remain in some ways. The Constitution really was massive change, and while the old change changed a lot of our forms and structure of the unified court, the new Constitution really made much more, to me, substantive changes.
Okay, such as, can you think of a couple?
There were JPs, Justice of the Peace. We used to refer to them Justice for the Plaintiff. There were people who were nominally elected in places, and the level of justice was terrible. If you had a collection case, you pick your JP and you almost automatically win. I never did, because I didn't do collection work. And they were eliminated. And the municipal court, which was independent, was integrated into the system. It was a better operational structure. It was less chaotic, much more rational.
Okay. And then at this time, what sort of law did you concentrate on? As I see at the beginning, it was basic house closings, divorces, simple corporate law.
That's when you start out and you get the business, you're a general practitioner. That's what you do. Wills, small corporations, house closings. Then little by little, I did a lot of political law. And then when I went to the state's attorney, which was 1973, I made a complete transition to litigation, which I liked more. Litigators, you know, lawyers, and I'm overstating this, lawyers, be they male, female, young or old, are little like little 12-year-olds with paper heads and wooden swords chasing each other around the table. There's a lot of fun in the exercise of litigation, which litigators enjoy. They always sneer at the people who sit in the office drawing agreements.
Okay.
All judges, almost all judges, come from litigators.
I see. So when you decided to go into litigation at that time, did you have aspirations of becoming a judge?
No.
Still no.
In fact, actually leaving that in the civil division might have been an opportune job. I felt in the firm I was with, there were getting to be some dead ends. I had a partner, George Pontikas, one of the brightest people I ever met, but stubborn in his own way to drive anybody crazy. And we worked very closely together, and I felt somehow that I was kind of in a dead end. And that's when I went to Judge Comerford, who I had known when I was in the state's attorney, and he encouraged me. And I went for what was called an associate, which are appointed judges, elected by the sitting judges. I went to the Republicans and asked for their backing, and were very decent about it.
Okay. And how does that work? Do you just go to, is there an office and you fill out some paperwork to try to get backing, or?
There was a meeting for what they call the Central Committee. I went in there and I talked to them. It was very interesting. When I was John Anderson, they were Reagan. And they seemed to have a lot of respect for me. And I didn't have a lot of problems. I said I would do some things, help them candidates, and some other things, which I did. The so-called pay my dues. I did not make any payments. A lot of people in places did. I would not do that. I helped people in different ways. I worked on some campaigns. I did some litigation. In fact, there's a guy who got into Congress. It's a funny story. When you win or lose in the State House of Representatives, your case comes up before the State House of Representatives, and the vote happens to go the way the party is. Well, we knew this guy had won by about 3 votes, and they really had juggled it around in the county, and he knew that he would lose. He got him so much publicity that his marginal seat became a safe seat, and he's in Congress. So we did the job. There are ways in politics where you can win without winning, which is very interesting. It's great fun in some ways. So I did things like that, serving the Republican Party, and they backed me. And I will tell you that they were good to their word, and I made it. Second time. First time is very hard for an associate.
Oh, how so?
It's getting to be known. You're going around to see 200-300 judges. You're getting them to know you. You're getting them for you. And it takes a while to do it. It's like anything else, you know. There's some wonderful people I know, and I'm trying to convince them to run again because they did well, but they didn't do well enough. It's hard.
Okay. And at this time, we're still talking about when you were living in Evanston.
No, I moved down here when I became a judge.
Okay, you did move down.
I lived in Evanston for about 15 years. I lived where I am for about 20. So that would be, let's say, 65 to 80, and down here about 89.
Okay. So in the 70s, you were chief of the civil division in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. And that's where you formed Project LEAP, which is the award you were showing me.
No, it was interesting. Bernard Carey was a lawyer, but he wanted to be sheriff. He was always involved in law enforcement. He ran against Elrod, and in a very raw fashion, the election was stolen. And although they never will admit this, this is all right, the cost of a recount was unbelievable. They had to put up like $25,000, not refundable. So Project Leap was formed after he lost by Republicans and Democrats for the purpose of protecting the election. And then he won, ran, and he won. And then when he won, I came in there and served for 3.5 years.
Okay. And it says that that was the first election fraud division in the county?
Yes, in the country.
In the country as well, okay.
As far as I know.
Wow.
And they still hate me because all the guys have to go out on election day and they don't like doing it from all. I don't care. I get teased by all the attorney generals and state attorneys because on election day they're supposed to watch the precinct.
Okay. You said launch the precincts. What did they do?
To move around. Presence is important because vote theft can only take place in secrecy. Elections, there is some fraud. There will always be some fraud and corruption, but there's nothing massive anymore.
Okay, so when you moved, how active were you still in Project Leap when you came back here to the city?
Pretty much. Pretty active.
Okay. And what other sorts of things, other than watching the precincts, took place in Project Leap at that time? Anything notable?
There were, but I really can't think of it. We were always there with trying to change the laws and everything. I can't remember anymore.
Okay.
We were there trying to help the Board of Election Commissioners do a better job, and they have gotten better. Holtzman, who was the guy there, and Cusper later, they moved out. The other people were much better.
You said laws. Do you remember what sorts of laws?
I can't
remember. Okay. All right. Well, moving on to, you said between maybe 65 to 80 is when you were in Evanston and were going up to the campaign, 1980. It says that you were state campaign manager for
After 80, when the campaign was on, I was elected in Evanston. I think it must have been about 82 that we moved, or 84.
Oh, okay.
I was elected once as a Republican for John Anderson Delaney, and once as a Democrat for a judge. So.
And how did that work?
I lived on the near north side. If you ran as a Republican, you had $1 million you would lose. Yeah, because the Democrat was Democratic. So you might have some influence. If somebody on the top of the ticket, like Thompson was running, it might have some influence. But down on the bottom of the ticket, wouldn't make any difference. It didn't bother me, so I ran as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. One moment, please. Okay, so was there any real opposition coming towards you at that time by you changing parties like that?
I've had people still today tell me I'm a Republican, and I've told them, and most people don't care, they know I'm independent. I did, when I was getting ready to run for judge, thinking about it, change my registration from Republican to Democratic. Now you change your registration, you don't change your registration, you vote in a primary. So I voted in the Republican primary. Now, most people in primaries vote where the action is. In other words, if there are contests on the Democratic side, they'll vote in the Democratic primary. It doesn't do much sense to vote in a primary where there's no contest.
Okay. So, at about that time, you had your experience as an attorney, and then you decided to kind of go after your goal of becoming a judge. And how common is it for someone with that much experience as you had to go ahead and become a judge?
I was a little older because they had, I think, 34 years of experience. Some people become a judge very young. I think it's foolish because you not only need the knowledge, you need the experience. But most people will probably get to be a judge in their 50s. Or 45, I was close to 60. It's not that strange, but it's not common either.
Okay. And was this at the time that you had joined the new law firm, the Foss, Schumann, Drake, and Bernard?
I joined them about 76, and was still there till I went in this, until I became a judge.
When you joined them, were you sort of transferring from the previous law firm where you felt stuck?
No, I was transferring from the state's attorney.
Oh, that's right.
I came
okay.
in and I was kind of in charge of the litigation.
I just didn't understand if you were still always a member of a firm until you changed new firms.
No.
Just this, okay, how law works and lawyers.
State's attorney was in between.
Okay. All right. I understand. Okay, and when you were at Foss, Schumann, Drake, and Bernard, were there any big cases, like the Carey case from before, that you remember? Anything notable there?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Let me take a look at my resume.
Sure.
We did have some. We joined the law for the denturists. We struck out there, but we...
Oh, that was at that law firm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said you struck out, so that it wasn't...
Sumter versus Illinois State Dental Society.